Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. So I'll be chatting with Matthew Hagel from the Independent Living Resource Center of Calgary. So tell me a little bit about the Independent Living Resource Center.
Yes, so we've been in Calgary here for about 32 years. Primarily, I guess, serving the citizens of Calgary and area. Calgary is now about 1.2 million people. And the main focus, I guess, of our programs, we run three of them, is to help with folks that have disabilities, whether it's cross disabilities, such as physical or mental disabilities, developmental disabilities, and we basically run three programs, one called Lifelong Education and Recreation Needs, which does different programs to ensure disabled folks aren't socially isolated, so bringing them into groups and doing some programming around that. We run a personal empowerment program called PEP, which basically helps with navigating the different social services within the city of Calgary. And that sort of assists people ranging with poverty issues or homelessness issues or even sort of day-to-day basic needs like accessing food banks. And then we have a volunteer program as well, which places disabled folks into different volunteer opportunities throughout the city and arts organizations or other community organizations with the hope that that will lead to employment down the road. Those are sort of the high-level overview of the organization.
So, are there any challenges in this work?
Overall, I guess, the challenge, I guess, is that you're dealing with sort of some complex cases, I guess, where people might have a physical disability as well as a sort of a developmental disability, so you're sort of tackling a one issue at a time. But primarily, I guess, there's about 65 different agencies in Calgary serving sort of different needs with the disabled population, and our focus is sort of on that programming aspect and then sort of through PEP, the referrals and making sure that they have access to the services they need. Obviously, I think with the news, as people know, with Alberta right now, things are in a bit of a financial sort of challenge, so there is a little bit more struggle for our clients, for sure. So it's good we have the resource here to help them a bit.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the center, has there been any success that stood out for you?
For sure, the programs are growing. Like, we are seeing an increase in people served and an impact, so we basically regularly survey the participants in our program to learn about what's working for them and other areas that we can grow the program. For example, we have recently introduced programs around fitness, such as yoga and music and movement or dance programs. So there's the physical activity built in, sort of a health and wellness perspective. We're finding that's really been popular with a lot of the clients.
So, What type of disability do you most commonly see in your work?
Boy, it really ranges. I mean, we do have people that are sight impaired or hearing impaired. We do have people that would have sort of the more serious diseases like multiple sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease, people that are sort of in wheelchairs or use canes and walkers. So a variety of those different challenges. From the emotional standpoint, we do serve clients that may have autism or Asperger's, so they're dealing with those type of challenges as well. So really we're sort of seeing the whole spectrum of disabilities. Disabilities, I think, are sometimes just perceived as sort of exterior or physical, but a lot of times they tend to sort of be mental concerns as well, or emotional concerns. So for our center, we're kind of open to everyone that faces those challenges, and we try to help people on an individual basis.
So how do you spread the word about your work?
We're sort of tapping in, I guess, to the social media aspect with Twitter and Facebook, but primarily we have developed quite a few partnerships with other agencies in the city that serve disabled folks in different capacities. For example, they may be running a group home, and we're partnered with them so that they're, you know, if they have four or five people living in a group home, they're able to participate in the LEARN program, and that's coordinated through the other sort of organization. So that organization would register them into our program. We run a few events throughout the year as well, in terms of a golf tournament and basically a events during the Stampede, which is our big social event. If you've ever been out to Calgary for the July Stampede, it's a lot of fun and a world-class event. And we participate in sort of those, I guess, fundraising, but also their sort of marketing and communications opportunities for us to get the word out about the Independent Living Resource Center. I still sort of feel we're a little bit of a best-kept secret, just in terms of all the work that we do, but as we're sort of growing here, we're definitely more people are hearing about us, and I think a lot more people with disabilities are seeking services that are outside the realm of just sort of working directly with the government, but more about what issues can they do to assist in recreation or education or referral services.
So if you could send any one message about the need for programs such as yours, what would it be?
I guess overall we're accessible and open to anyone that sort of comes from a background where they're experiencing challenges. And I think coming to visit our center in Calgary is always a good idea, because we are sort of the first step in providing those referrals to programs or other agencies that might be able to help people when they're not really sure where the next steps are when they're dealing with those challenges.
So, are there any projects on the horizon?
We're looking at probably just partnerships with training in terms of people that have been sort of injured, like, for example, a brain injury where they're in a rehabilitation and maybe they're looking at retraining. So that's sort of, we're looking into those possibilities, because a lot of times people are born with disabilities, but also people acquire disabilities through accidents or just unfortunate circumstances. So we want to try and serve that population as well that maybe diagnosed later in life and need some retraining or some help in accessing either the volunteer world, or they want to volunteer their time, or they want some opportunity of training that leads to re-employment. So we're sort of looking at those possibilities as well.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure, no problem, Ken.
Folks, Matthew hit it dead on during the interview. Monitoring is key. asking people with disabilities what they need on a regular basis to make sure that the services and the programs available are living up to their full potential. Fact is, it's things of this nature that are very simple, just finding out what it is that we as a society can do better for these good people. But truth is, once you have that information, that's where the hard part comes in. That's where real change starts to be on our minds. It's where we say to ourselves, what can we actually do? Here's the problem. Here are the options. Which one would serve as many members of the disabled community as possible? But also the fact that in their work, the Independent Living Center is incorporating things such as physical fitness, yoga, recognizes another need of people with disabilities, not just the need for them to be heard in what matters to them, but the need for them to keep up their strength, to learn to use the gifts they do have. Sometimes people tend to see disability as a limitation. I see it as an adaptation, a different way of looking at the world, a different way of using your strength. And it's through physical fitness programs and learning to find your strength, whatever the circumstances, that makes for a more complete, more well-rounded person. A person with a disability who says, I've acquired this injury, now there's no hope for me. I consider that a tragic shame, because the fact is, holding on to the things you love can and will give you a reason to live and stay strong. The fact is, if your goal is to live independently, it's to find who can help you, who can get you started, who can teach you the techniques you need to know. That's a beginning. Just keep the dream in sight, folks. Never say to yourself, it's impossible, it's beyond my reach, until you've taken the time to fully consider it. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
It's that special time of year again. The 2016 Jammy Awards are coming. A time when we celebrate the efforts of our dedicated volunteer programmers, producers, and DJs. Go to cjam.ca and you can vote for your favorite shows, as well as top local acts and venues. Voting closes at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on March 31st, so don't delay and vote today. And be sure to join us at Villains Bistro on Friday, April 15th to see who wins. It's a free show with a performance from our Best Windsor Music Act of 2015, James O'L and the Villains. CJAM 99.1 FM is reaching higher ground in Windsor and Detroit.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Matthew Hagel from the Independent Living Resource Center. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Jennifer Buchanan from JB Music. So tell me a little bit about your work as it relates to people with disabilities.
Yeah, so it has been a really an interesting time to get into the field of music therapy. I'm entering my 25th year of doing this, and ultimately using music with anybody, regardless of ability level, is about finding the right song, finding the right tone, finding the right instrument, perhaps, where someone can feel successful and at their best. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do.
So, can you tell me a little bit about the impact music therapy might have on a person?
Well, you know, it's going to be different for everyone. Our youngest client is 2 months old, and our oldest client is about 106 now, I think. And so we see people from who may have been diagnosed with autism, They might have cerebral palsy. We also work with people who have acquired a brain injury or dementia. And what happens is when we go in, the very first thing we do is an assessment of that individual, but different than what maybe other assessments might be. This assessment is going to be based on their preferences, music-based preferences. And it's also going to be on discussing what their needs are and how do they hope that music can help them. Often that comes from boosting mood and helping people just feel better in the moment. And then sometimes it might be something incredibly technical where they're wanting to improve their speech, language, breath control, and we're using specific techniques to help them do that as well and showing them what to do.
So are there any challenges in the practice of music therapy?
Yeah, I there always is. I mean, I think within any practice, there's definite challenges. What's hard on the music therapist in particular is if they are having difficulty reaching and connecting to the client, because the work is only as great as the relationship between the therapist and the client themselves. And so the challenges could definitely be finding that entrance point. And for some of the people that we work with, it just may take a little bit more time, or it might be the wrong connection, and so a new therapist will be able to connect in a better way. But as soon as there's that relationship, we find that most of the challenges are eliminated and we're able to move forward.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with music therapy, has there been any success moment that really stands out for you?
Oh, gosh. There have been so many, actually, and I feel fortunate to be able to say that. There have been successful enough moments that I now have a team of 15 music therapists in my company, and we travel and are accessible to about 1,600 clients. With those, I really hope there's successes for everyone. A particular individual, when we're working with kids, often we're hired to work with kids that are needing some support with their speech and language and learning. And to see that child speak or sing for the first time, to see that child be able to feel more confident when they're integrating with peers at school, or on the other side of life, to be working with a senior who may be having difficulty with their memory, and seeing them all of a sudden have that moment of remembrance through music and their eyes light up in a manner of recognition. Those are just some of the amazing experiences that can happen.
So how do you go about spreading the word about your work?
Well, you've actually caught us on a great month. This is National Music Therapy Awareness Month, and we have just been recognized this year by Health Canada. It is about, we're doing a lot of the similar marketing that other people are doing, from print marketing to letting people know through social media that this profession exists. Our National Association of Music Therapy, which is called the Canadian Association for Music Therapy, does a lot of work to make sure that we are at the table with groups such as, Alzheimer's awareness groups, or working with the education system. And so it's just about keep talking to people. And probably where we talk to people often the most is when we're on site, because when we have a guitar on our back or we're sitting at a piano, people are asking us, saying, this looks different. It doesn't look like you're just entertaining here. And we're able to say, no, we're certified music therapists, and we've been hired here to work with these individuals to help them reach their goals.
So If you could send any one message about the need for music therapy, what would it be?
Well, I think this month I want to say that if you have certain goals that you're hoping to achieve and you haven't considered music therapy before, it may be an interesting option for you, and there are 900 music therapists across Canada who would love to work with you, and to contact our national association would be terrific.
So, what are the next steps in raising awareness about music therapy?
Interviews like this really help, so I want to thank you for that. Reading some more articles. We are fortunate that there's a nice blend of research and science coupled with just case studies that are available online. And by having people just Google music therapy and find a music therapist, that's what we really would love you to do.
So what do you foresee for the future of the practice? Do you see it continuing to expand?
Definitely. And I see it developing in all different areas and with all different populations, from children, teens, to adults. I don't think there's any population group that would not benefit from music therapy. We're often at the bedside with people who are passing over to the other side and are currently in palliative care. I know in our practice, we also work with inmates. We work in mental health often, and so there's such a spectrum. It's a great equalizer. It's a way for us all to connect, again, regardless of age, regardless of ability. This is just an opportunity for people to feel better.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
You bet.
Music therapy. In her work, Jennifer described how they're reaching out to some of who might be the most marginalized people in all of society. Person with a disability, yes, they find themselves pushing for more rights, more equality. For somebody with mental health issues, there's this perceived stigma around that, or prison inmates, we as a society tend to overlook or forget about these people and say they're not as valuable members of the community. But providing them with music therapy, providing them with a chance to heal, can make all the difference. Fact of the matter is, no person in society should be simply forgotten. No person should be without the benefit of something that can help them, to reduce their pain, to help them cope a little bit better with life, even to bring back long forgotten memories. For the senior population, it's a fantastic gift, but also for their families, their caregivers, people around them, realizing that this music can reach a place in a person that's still pure, still hopeful, realizing that the person that their friends and family have known and loved all those years is still in there, and a part of them will always remain. What a gift that would be. Working with dementia patients, but bringing them out of it, even for a moment, long enough to say, I remember this, or this has meaning to me. You never know what kind of emotional impact that might have on a person. It can be music, it can be the right words at the right time. But the fact is, these disabilities can be among the most difficult to handle. You never know if you're reaching a person, but Jennifer was absolutely right. It is all about finding the right connection, finding the right path to reach a person. And with that, you can You can achieve great things. What can I say? Truth is, for families of someone with dementia, if they had given up hope, then suddenly music therapy comes along, gives them a reason to believe. Fact is, if you live in hope enough days, one of those days, the hope will be justified. If you just find something meaningful for you in your life, no disability, no condition will have absolute power over you. Because you'll find yourself in a place that says, no matter what has gone wrong, even no matter what mistakes I've made, I'm still a valuable, capable person within this community. That is not something we can afford to forget, folks. For prison inmates, getting music therapy, that's really a gift as well, in so much as a lot of these people struggle with mental illness. If they didn't upon entering the correction system, odds are the stress and the strain will have an impact on them by the time they're done. I know it is meant to punish, but it is not meant to dehumanize. Music therapy can reduce their pain too. It can remind them there are still beautiful and meaningful things in the world. And whether you're experiencing life in a cell or out in the free world, beauty and the potential remains. There is still hope for any person. This interview really presented a great side of things. Jennifer's been fortunate in that she's had the chance to grow and to build on her work. But hearing there are 900 music therapists, that Health Canada is really recognizing their work, it's a great gain for the disabled community. Because therapy such as this is sort of unknown in its applications, because it will reach every person differently. And honestly, we can't say for sure we know the full range of what it can help heal, what pain it can help reduce. Things such as yoga are a great practice for people with disabilities, because they can reduce physical pain. Music can soothe the soul, reduce emotional pain. Stress and strain only tend to make things worse on a disability. And by embracing music and music therapy, you come to realize that this pain can be managed, it can be controlled, no matter how bleak, no matter how hopeless the situation might appear to be. Not to give up, just to let yourself experience a moment where you can just enjoy the music, feel connected to it, and forget that there are difficulties in the world. It's the gift that music has for all of us, not just people with disabilities, the able-bodied community. Fact is, potential understand ourselves comes through music. Potential to be healed, to grow stronger, and even to maximize our gifts as people with disabilities. Every person with a disability has something to offer the community. It's simply a matter of finding the right outlet to reach them. Fact is, we should never give up on anyone. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HANDILINK, and the numeral 4 at gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.